In 1981, during the second commission of inquiry, the guardian angel said to Sister Agnes, "They ask a miracle greater than the tears," referring to the tears flowing from the wooden statue. "There will be no more," meaning there will be no more tears. And that was the end. The statue had wept 101 times. And then on the 28th of September, the angel appeared again and said, "There is a meaning to the figure 101. This signifies that sin came into the world by a woman, and it is also by a woman that salvation came to the world. The zero between the two signifies the eternal God, who was from all eternity unto eternity. The first one represents Eve, and the last the Virgin Mary." This is a very meaningful image, the 101. It emphasizes the Immaculate Conception. It emphasizes the words that God spoke to Satan in the Garden of Eden. "I shall place enmities between thee and the woman, thy seed and her seed, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel, and she shall crush thy head." The Immaculate. Eve was the mother of the human race, but she left us the legacy of original sin. Mary is the mother of the human race, giving birth to us on Calvary, the mother in the order of grace. Between these two mothers we have God. God who created us and gave us our first mother. God who created us and gave us the second mother, the co-redemptrix, the mediatrix, the Immaculate. The final great miracle of Akita took place on the Feast of the Annunciation in 1982, the very time that the Pope had sent letters to all the bishops of the world announcing to them that on the following May 13th, he would be at Fatima to renew the consecration of the world and of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. On that day, the angel announced to Sister Agnes that as a final sign to the bishop and to the world that Our Lady was indeed appearing to her, that her deafness, which had been pronounced incurable by notable medical authorities, would be suddenly and instantly cured. And as in the case of the miracle at Fatima, this was being announced in advance. On Sunday, May the 30th, Pentecost Sunday, the day on which in the following year a Marian year would begin, during which the Pope would renew the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in union with all the bishops of the world, Sister Agnes was suddenly and completely cured during the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. Now, there is no minimizing the message of Akita. We've heard the same prophecy of Our Lady from other sources, but now here it comes in an apparition that has been approved by the Church, confirmed by miracles. And it is very serious. As a matter of fact, in the pastoral letter itself, the bishop said that were it not for the miracles, it would be difficult to accept this message. I wrote a little book called The Meaning of Akita, also available from 101. And I point out that the chastisement can be at once an act of mercy as well as of justice, as when a parent chastises a child in order to correct it from wrongdoing. Errors of practical and militant atheism engulf the world. As Sister Lucia said, the consecration will have its effect, but it is too late. Already the whole world has been affected. We were offered a series of corrections at Fatima. Our Lady predicted World War II, but that would have been prevented if people had responded. She said errors would spread from an atheist Russia throughout the entire world, but that would have been prevented if her request had been heard. She said they will foment further wars. And we have bloodshed going on today in Latin America, in the Middle East, in Africa, Liberia, places people rarely even hear about. Finally, Our Lady of Fatima prophesied the ultimate correction. Several entire nations will be annihilated. And this is being repeated in graphic terms at Akita, recalling the prophecy of Joel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. The day of the Lord cometh, the like of it has not been seen from the beginning, nor shall it be, even to the years of generation and generation. Before the face thereof a devouring fire, and behind it a burning flame. Our Lady points out that the urgency of this message is because sins against the Holy Spirit are multiplying in the world. That is, people are claiming a right to commit sins, a right to homosexuality, to sodomy, to abortion. And at the very time of Akita, Pope John Paul II issued an encyclical on the Holy Spirit in which he explains this. The Pope said, "If Jesus says that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven, either in this life or in the next, it is because this non-forgiveness is linked, as to its cause, to non-repentance." In other words, to the radical refusal to be converted. End of quotation. The Pope explained that specific sins against the Holy Spirit are, quote, sins committed by the person who claims to have a right to persist in evil, in any sin at all, and who thus rejects redemption, close quote. And today, men are claiming the right to sin. And to us, fire over the earth seems an utmost horror. But to God, sins across the earth against the Holy Spirit are a far greater horror, and his mercy as well as his justice require a corrections for the generations still to come. But Our Lady said, it can be prevented. The correction can come by grace, from the Immaculate, from the Mediatrix of all grace. Since I have personally been so involved in the apostolate for 50 years, people often ask me, well, what do you think? As though what I thought could be any different or more profound than what anyone else might think. But I'm sure that all of us do have certain feelings or thoughts about the world situation and about these prophecies and about the direction in which mankind is going, ignoring the voice of the Church, the voice of Our Lady and the miracles, avoiding the repeated warnings given now for over 100 years as we approach the year 2000. But somehow I can't imagine that Our Lady is going to such lengths to attract the attention of her children, if it is not to avoid the chastisement. Not that a chastisement is not something that could be beneficial, and something which certainly God's justice will require if sins against the Holy Spirit keep multiplying. But I just can't think of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary over a world of burned-out corpses. I think the triumph can come through grace, which is what she keeps saying. Russia will be converted. We see that happening. And if enough men respond now after this note of hope, this great triumph of love can come without a chastisement. Now, what will this triumph be, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart? Well, Our Lady says it will be an era of peace for all mankind, Now peace on the lips of Mary doesn't mean the absence of war. It means the peace of which the angels sang over Bethlehem. Peace on earth to men of good will. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary will be good will among men. In this last decade of the 20th century, goodwill among men would seem to be impossible, talking about the world in general. Just as we would have thought in 1989 that everything that happened in Eastern Europe could never have happened in such short notice. 5 years after the consecration of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Iron Curtain was down. Is it possible that just as suddenly, if people responded adequately, the hatreds of the world could change? It may seem impossible, but that's Our Lady's promise. Just think, at the beginning of this decade, in January of 1990, glance at the national edition of the New York Times, for example, the 3 days of January 9th, 10th, and 11th, and I'll state the news item and indicate the page in that edition of the New York Times of that day. Starting with January the 9th on page 7. Troops kill 12 in Kashmir riots. Another headline, political killings have characterized San Salvador's civil war since 1980. Another article, bombings and killings in Colombia's drug war. Let me just go, I'll go right on down, just from the newspapers of those 3 days. Strife building in Bulgaria. Turks arming themselves to take over the country. Regarding to the Turks in Bulgaria, who were separated from Turkey by Russia in the last century. Another headline, more than 100 killed in the Soviet Republic of Azerbaijan. Another headline, more than 200 men, women, and children killed by rebels in Liberia. Fighting had begun in Liberia on December the 24th. 10,000 Liberian refugees fled to Ivory Coast. Quotation, the army had entered villages in northeast with mounted machine guns and opened fire. Another article, today, Red Cross in Lebanon removed 17 bodies from villages in Iqlim and Tofali, a few miles southeast of Sidon. Number of casualties reached 92 dead and 280 wounded in the clashes in which tanks, heavy artillery, and rockets were used. That's on page 8. January 10th, New York Times. 1989, bloodiest year of the decade in Peru. 3,198 killed in 1989 compared to 1,986 in 1988. Now that's in a nation of 21 million, there are 10,000 killed in the last couple of years. And that, the reason it was in the paper, because that very day, January 10th, the former defense chief of the nation was killed. Six died today in South Africa. It is estimated that about 300 civilians died in Panama. Still no accurate account of the number of civilians killed. It was just a couple of days before this the first reports of the casualties from the invasion of Panama were being published. Another article the same day, a major attack on Battambang, Cambodia, the second largest city in Cambodia. A month-long 19-nation Paris peace conference over Cambodia last August ended in failure. You know, in the past, the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia killed 1 million people in that little country. And it goes on. The same paper, the same day, in Romania, where thousands died last month, situation remains unsettled. What will tomorrow's headlines bring? What bloodshed are we to expect now from all the nations clamoring for independence in the Soviet Union? In Spain, despite one of the bloodiest civil wars in history per capita, the violence of the Basque separatists continues even now, 50 years later. Where do these hatreds end? Can they end? Except through a worldwide chastisement or a miracle of grace. One way or the other, they will end. That is the ultimate promise of Fatima, the triumph of a heart, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, the triumph of the heart of the Mother given to the world at the foot of the cross, the triumph of love. Now we've had the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We are seeing a great change in Russia, and certainly one of the glorious phenomena we are going to witness now, one of the glorious fruits we are going to experience, will be the expression of faith of these people in Russia who were raised in atheism and who have found God, like Tatiana Gordacheva. That should be a glorious experience. It's like Solzhenitsyn. These people have come to the West amazed at our lack of religion, amazed at our lack of morality, our lack of awareness, our lack of enthusiasm. Some of us responded to Solzhenitsyn, and some certainly in France have already responded to a person like Tatiana Gordacheva. But possibly there will be such a force coming from the faith of these people who are emerging from atheism with the force of primitive Christianity. That may be a turning point. They're coming from the Soviet Union, where there has been a mixture of all these various nationalities, of all these various religious backgrounds, which for centuries have divided people. But if that great conversion, which has begun in Russia, is to extend through the world, we have to respond to our Lady's requests. As Sister Lucia said, the consecration that was made by the Holy Father and the bishops of the world will have its effect, but it is late. And for the ultimate promise of the triumph of Our Lady, the Blue Army, the World Apostolate of Fatima, those who respond will have much to do. We who know the message have much to do. Are we doing it? It is obviously important to realize that with the conversion of Russia, we have a tremendous sign of hope. But with the conversion of Russia, we do not have the era of peace. We have the beginning of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. We have the promise. But if we are to achieve the era of peace and to avoid the chastisement, we must respond now to the tears of Mary, generously, enthusiastically. While the threat of a world war has been enormously diminished, there has been a proliferation of nuclear weapons, and into the hands of small nations where there are these deep-seated hatreds, some going back for centuries. It would be difficult to imagine a greater hostility between two peoples than those of Iran and Iraq, both Muslim nations, but who practiced terrible atrocities against each other in a prolonged war in which both became exhausted. And the situation in that part of the world is really a boiling pot of hatred. In the second week of January of 1990, an Arabic language newspaper in London said that Syria had officially been assured by the Chinese government that it would continue to receive missiles from China because, quote, Israel is being armed with the most technologically advanced weapons, close quote. And therefore, China will see that Syria gets these weapons. That was published in the New York Times on January 10th. Israel has nuclear warheads, so does China. What is China supplying to Syria to counteract Israel's, quote, advanced weapons, close quote? This is not 10 years ago. This is now, in 1990. Recall the words of Our Lady, the chastisement is at hand. It will be a fire over the earth. And according to Dr. J. Rand McNally, nuclear physicist, the explosion of even one or two super bombs today could cause a nuclear holocaust, a chain reaction that would spread over a large area of the world. Total devastation. This is a time of multiple little wars with increasing proliferation of big weapons. A Gallup poll at the end of 1989 revealed that most Americans now think an atomic war between the United States and the Soviet Union is unlikely, but more than 60% believe there could be a nuclear war from smaller countries. One sighs and says, well, we've had hatreds in the world for so long. How is it possible that there will be time for a sufficient response to obtain such a miracle of grace? Well, just think. Suppose the Mohammedans were converted. Much of the conflict in Lebanon, Iran, Iraq, terrorism, it's felt throughout the world, is because of the Sunnite and the Shiite divisions in Mohammedanism. What if the Mohammedans were converted? You had not only the Mohammedan Christian confrontation, as in Armenia, but you have the Shiite-Sunnite conflicts. Is it possible that some great miracle could convert the Mohammedans? Yes. It's interesting that Bishop Sheen, when he was speaking in Lisbon at the first Peace Congress, which was held there after the miracle of Fatima, said, I don't ask why Our Lady appeared in Portugal, the Terra de Santa Maria, the land of Holy Mary, but why Fatima? Why that tiny remote village named after the daughter of Mohammed? You know, Fatima, the daughter of Mohammed, was the only source of a lineage to Mohammed. And the Shiite Muslims believe that the only legitimate rulers in the Muslim world are the descendants of Fatima, whose great tomb and mosque is in Tehran. They're only about 10% of all the Mohammedans, but that's how important Fatima is to them. But to all Mohammedans, Fatima is extremely important because it is written in the Quran by Mohammed himself that Fatima has the highest place in heaven after the Virgin Mary. And that is the key in the Quran for the conversion of Mohammedans, because in the Muslim religion, the dignity or position of a woman depends on her relation to a man. and therefore, according to the Quran itself, Jesus has the highest place in heaven. And Bishop Sheen dared to say that he believed that Our Lady chose to be known in this greatest intervention of the Mother of God in history, that she chose to be known as Our Lady of Fatima, because she came not just for the conversion of Russia, but for the conversion of the Mohammedans. The Mohammedans, who have devotion to Mary, who believe in her Immaculate Conception. Oh, let us be encouraged by all these changes and things that are happening. And let us double our efforts. Now is the time to begin. The Holy Father has stressed over and over, at least 5 major times, including very formally in an encyclical, that we should spend these years in the preparation for the year 2000 in an Advent with Mary. In an Advent. An Advent means a coming. What has happened in Eastern Europe proves that Our Lady not only will keep her promises, but is keeping her promises. And she will work even greater wonders if we will only respond adequately. Oh, let us light those 4 candles in our lives and light them in the lives of others until there is enough light from Fatima to change the world, to bring about that triumph Our Lady has promised. A triumph of the heart, when from the light of Mary's heart, the world will realize that Jesus is here, that he is truly present in tabernacles throughout the world, here in a sacrament of love, here waiting to communicate himself, so that truly the angels may once again sing over the world as they did when he first rested in a manger in Bethlehem. Peace on earth to men of goodwill. One of the most important messages of this 6-hour program, Our Lady Speaks, is the one which now follows. The miracle of Fatima, the great sign, and the voice of Our Lady today, one with the voice of the Church. These miracles and this united voice of Our Lady and the Church tell us what we must do in order to bring about the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that the reign of the Sacred Heart of Jesus may come to the world, and once again the angels may sing over the earth, peace on earth to men of goodwill. We heed the voice of Our Lady speaking to us today when she says, recall to mind my words.